brothers and sisters over there that we were familiar with because they knew people that we knew back here in America. So, you know, there was kind of a connection there. And there was one gentleman who came up to me and he handed me an envelope, and I later counted that money and I thought, Lord, why would you give this to us? We're not hurting financially. Why would you do this? Turns out, a couple days later, I lost my debit card. And in America, if you lose your debit card, it's not really that big of a deal. You can go to the bank, you can get money out, right? But in China, number one, you're spending more cash because the ratio of U.S. dollar to RMB is about 6 to 1, right? So you require more cash. And number two, in China, their banking system is a whole lot different. And this is one of those trials that we had to go through in learning and adjusting to the Chinese way of doing things. You can't go to a bank where you have a bank account and offer your passport and say, here, I have a bank account, you know, give me the money that's in my account. You can go to an American bank and do that. But in China, you have to have that little piece of plastic, that debit card, in order to get your money out. I didn't know that this was the case, but, you know, I looked in my wallet. My debit card wasn't there. I looked everywhere, couldn't find it. And, you know, went and battled the tellers at the bank, tried to see if I could get around it, but, you know, there was no budging there. And so we had a gentleman who gave us that envelope of money, and that was the Lord providing for us before we even knew that we had that need. Because that bank account was closed to us. There was money in it, but we couldn't get any money out. But we had the cash on hand to use. And that cash got us through that time. And then there was another time where the same family felt pressed again to hand us an envelope of money. And we said again, Lord, why are you giving us? It's not like we're really hard up for cash right now. We're okay. We're doing okay. And a couple days later, as we're trying to, this is after Emma was born, as we're trying to get things sorted for Emma's visa, and I learned the hard way that we were supposed to have already done it. So we ended up getting hit with fines and things like that, and having to fork out a lot of money for her passport, her visa, and, you know, just the Lord provided that money that we didn't know that we need, but the cost of getting Emma's passport and her Chinese visa to remain in the country for the remaining month and a half was way more than we thought it was going to be. And the Lord provided for that by blessing with us once again. We want to thank you at Loomis Park. You guys, you know, again, as I said, you guys are like our second home. You know, we really do feel a connection with you guys here. We love you. And we just want to thank you for providing for us, for offering your prayers up to us, and for supporting us financially. My wife and I on the field, we went through a lot of experiences in China that we didn't necessarily expect to experience. When you think of going to a foreign land and you think of adjusting to the culture, you think of, you know, the proper manners and customs while you're eating and things like that. Those were the easy things to adjust to. The things that we didn't expect to be bombarded with were the differences in mindset between a Chinese mind and an American mind. Some things that my wife had to go through is that while she was pregnant and while after she had her child, we would have total strangers coming up to us and you know, kind of shaking their fingers at us, telling us the things that we're doing wrong. You know, they have a different culture there. Things that are totally acceptable in America and okay in America, you just don't do in China. It's not okay to do. Such as having your baby out in the first, what is it, 3 months of, yeah, in the first 3 months, neither the wife, neither the mother or the baby are supposed to go out in public. And, you know, these were things that, you know, we had to adjust to, the differences in mindset, the way that a Chinese person thinks is completely opposite to the way that an American person thinks. The American mindset is to question. You know, to question everything. If there is a better way to do something, then we as Americans, we want to do it the better way. We can see quickly problems such as the banking system that I explained to you about the little card, and you need a card to get money out. You know, as Americans, we see the problem quickly and we say, hey, this is a quick fix, it's not a problem. But as a Chinese person, they don't see that as a problem. They are trained from little children to accept it for what it is and don't question. So when you go to somebody in a business atmosphere such as a bank or a Walmart kind of place and you say, you know, hey, can't you do this? I mean, doesn't this make sense? The Chinese person, they don't see that. They would just say, hey, this is the way that it is. This is just the way that we do it, and it can't be changed. And so there are, I hope that, you know, I'm making myself clear. There's more to adjust to in China than just the culture of eating with chopsticks. The hardest thing for us to adjust to in China was the differences in mindset, a total different way of thinking. And those were probably the differences and the challenges that we experienced the most. Those were challenges that at times were very frustrating to us. I stand before you and I tell you that Bethany and I, on many occasions, we failed those trials and we failed them miserably. Murmuring, you know, complaining, you know, why can't they just see the problem? Why can't they just see it for what it is? Why can't they make changes to make their country better? So those were things that we failed many times. And I'm ashamed that I can't say something different to you, but, you know, that's the truth. But we're so thankful that the Lord showed us that we failed, and that the next time when we go back, we can remember this, and we can remember the children of Israel in the desert and how they murmured and how they didn't, you know, they didn't see things the way that they should have seen things. So I'm thankful that we had that experience in China, that kind of buffer time to prepare us for our future ministry, that buffer time for us to be able to prepare our hearts and minds for what we will experience in the future. So that when we get to China again and we're approached with these things, we can respond in the right way. Thank you for your prayers. I know that they made a difference. And I know that Bethany and I could feel your prayers all the way in China. There are many, many hard struggles of being away from family and the things that are familiar, and leaving a country where there is an atmosphere of liberty and freedom, and going to a country where there is no atmosphere of liberty and freedom, but an atmosphere of tyranny. And so, you know, to cut things short, you know, there were a lot of different things that we experienced. And I know that all of those things that we experienced were necessary to prepare us for the future. While we were in China, if you remember in one of our prayer letters, there was a girl who some Chinese brothers and sisters asked us to house. This girl was kind of at the end of her rope, and she was looking for something. And so we offered up a room in our apartment. And we, Bethany and I, one evening, we shared the gospel with her. She spoke a decent enough amount of English. And this girl, you know, she was resistant to the gospel when we shared it with her, but she was accepting some things, but resisting some other things. And the next day, when she went to her Chinese meeting, she was saved and baptized. So we praise the Lord and we thank Him for that, because that's what it's all about. When I was over in China, if you remember, I said that I was going to get a teaching job. And that teaching job was to teach English online. I was, if any of you are familiar with the internet program called Skype, it's kind of similar to that, where I would be sitting in front of a computer, I would be mic'd up, and another student would either be in Shanghai or anywhere else in the country. In fact, I actually had some students who were in America. So really anywhere in the world, they would connect with us on the internet, and I would teach them English. Almost all of them were adults, some of them as young as college students. Actually, I had some who were teenagers, but they weren't supposed to be in the program, but they were. And I, you know, they were as old as, you know, I had some 50s and maybe even 60-year-olds who I taught. And through the course of that, I was able to, when I felt like the Holy Spirit permitted, share the gospel. Amen. You know, Chinese people are, you know, they're interested in American culture. And so whenever I felt the freedom to do that, I would go ahead and share the gospel, or share with them a little bit about the faith, about the Bible, about Jesus. And there was one student who I had several times. She was a young college student. Her name is Limi, L-I-M-I. She, through the course of our talks, she usually connected with us, and we didn't really have a proper lesson. We would just kind of chat back and forth. And I found out that she was going to America, and she was going to attend the college that is very near my hometown in Maryland. It's called Frostburg State University. It is actually the college that I graduated from with a bachelor's and with a master's. And this is really cool. I mean, I'm talking to somebody, I'm sitting in Shanghai talking to somebody in Guangdong province, or no, I'm sorry, Fujian province, somewhere southeast in China. And this girl is going to the same small college, secular college, that I went to whenever I was in college years ago. So I thought that was really cool. I said, hey, you know, that's my alma mater. I visit that area every now and again. Why don't we hook up and have dinner? You can meet my wife and my baby. And so we did. In fact, I was just at my parents' past couple weeks, and we met up with Lee Ming. And we took her to Bob Evans, and we talked a bit, and then I got to share the gospel with her. It was really of the Lord, and how the course of the conversation took place. There are Chinese characters. The way that they write their language. And when you examine and look at these Chinese characters and look at the history and how two different characters come together to make one, some of these characters come together in such a way that you cannot deny the biblical roots of these characters. There is a pamphlet back on the table called Shengdi something. I don't know. It's a little yellow pamphlet. And if you open that up, it gives you a little bit more. Such as, I believe this is one, a boat plus the character for boats plus the character for eight I believe equals, you put those together and it means flood. Now, what story in the Bible do you recall that there's a boat and then there's eight people and a flood? And can we actually conceive that that kind of thing happened by accident? Of course not. And so I began to share the gospel with her, and this was all very new for her. And I brought her to the point of a decision, made her understand that this is a decision to either accept Christ or reject Christ. And I shared with her that if she rejects Christ, she will go to hell. And so I want you to pray for Limi. When you are sharing the gospel with somebody who has no idea about Jesus and heaven and hell and what grace is and what faith is and what a faith-based salvation actually is, it's all very new to her. And she said, wow, I'm in culture shock right now. So I want you to pray for Limi. That door is still open. And I hope to be able to meet with her again in the future and continue to correspond with her to see her saved as well. So I've kind of talked a little bit more than I wanted to about China, but that's okay. Sometimes the Lord leads in that way. If you have any questions, please stop by after the service and ask us. Again, we thank you so much for your prayers. Your prayers mean so much to us. There's nothing like being in China and knowing that you have people back home praying for you. That means more than any amount of money that you would send our way. So we thank you for that. I guess I need to inform you why we're back in the States. We're back in the States to raise more support. We felt that the Lord wanted us to come back to raise more support so that in the future I can get a job, because you need to get a job to go to China, so that I can get a job that would allow me to work less hours so that I can concentrate more on learning the language and preaching the gospel. Amen. So in the future we will go down to Guangdong province. Year and a half, 2 years, I don't know. That's all in the Lord's timing. And when we do, we will begin then opening up our homes for house meetings and reaching out and evangelizing the lost. So pray with us as we travel about the churches. Again, this is the first church that we've been in. Since we've been back, we've been really seeking the Lord and getting a firm confirmation of His direction, and He's provided that for us. So we will then raise more support. Go on deputation, raise more support, then go back to China. Turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah chapter 22. I'm going to go ahead and start reading in verse 1. The burden of the valley of vision. What aileth thee now, thou that art wholly gone up to the housetops? Should give you a little background. This is a prophecy of Judah, of Jerusalem, and the setting here is Sennacherib is surrounding Jerusalem and going to conquer Jerusalem. Okay? Thou that art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. Thy slain men are not slain with the sword, nor dead in battle. All thy rulers are fled together. They are bound by the archers. All that are found in thee are bound together, which have fled from far. Therefore said I, look, look away from me. I will weep bitterly, labor not to comfort me, because of the spoiling of the daughter of my people. For it is a day of trouble, and of treading down, and of perplexity by the Lord God of hosts in the valley of vision, breaking down the walls, and of crying to the mountains. And Elam bare the quiver with chariots of men and horsemen, and Kir uncovered the shield. And it shall come to pass that thy choicest valleys shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gate. And he discovered the covering of Judah, and thou didst look in that day to the armor of the house of the forest. Ye have seen also the breaches of the city of David, that they are many, and ye gathered together the waters of the lower pool. And you have numbered the houses of Jerusalem, and the houses have you broken down to fortify the wall. You made also a ditch between the two walls for the water of the old pool. But ye have not looked unto the maker thereof, neither have respect unto him that fashioned it long ago. And in that day did the Lord God of hosts call to weeping and to mourning and to baldness and to girding with sackcloth. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. I want to speak to you this evening, not on necessarily the historical context of this verse, but I want to take these verses, a few verses I want to pull out here this evening, and I want to apply to the present state of America. We are in a mess. And I don't think I have to belabor that point. You look around you and you can know and you can see that we are in a mess. And as I read through and I see these things, it's very interesting that you can make a lot of connections between what happened in Israel right before they were conquered and what is happening in America today. Verse 2, thou art full of stirs, a tumultuous city, a joyous city. You look at America, you look at our families, you look at our churches, and what do we have? We have turmoil surrounding us. Yet, we walk on. We continue on as if it means nothing. All thy rulers are fled together. It speaks of the rulers of Israel and how they came together in Jerusalem and then they banded together and left. It is a sad, sad thing today in America when we look to our rulers, the politicians, and there's not one of them with the backbone to stand up for right and truth. And then when we take a look around and we look within our own pulpits, we see men folding under the pressure of congregations, exchanging the inspired word of God for a perverted word of God, a perversion of the word of God. Exchanging those hymns like the one that we sung by Fanny Crosby for a rock concert. Our rulers have left the scene. They don't follow after God like they once did in this country. This country that was founded upon the principles of the Bible and the principles of God. They're not there anymore. And as we look down in verse 7, and it shall come to pass that thy choicest valleys shall be full of chariots, and the horsemen shall set themselves in array at the gates. It is one of the most perplexing things to me how we as Christians and we in churches and in our fundamental churches, we can look around the scene that is before us. We can see the immorality in our schools. We can see how our kids are being indoctrinated. Our kids are being indoctrinated in preparation for this one world government, in preparation for communism, in preparation for socialism, in preparation for the disintegration of families. We look around and we look over to Israel. Netanyahu made a speech to the UN. I don't know if any of you have been. Did any of you see that? Boy, I wish we had a politician like him in America. I wish we had a politician who just stood up and said the truth and wasn't politicking around, wasn't afraid of the backlash that would come. Listen, Netanyahu said, I am ready to compromise. I am ready to compromise. And you don't have to be a Bible scholar of prophecy to understand that in the latter days, when we go on up in the rapture, there will be a compromise with Israel and the nations that seek to destroy her. And Netanyahu warned of the coming threat from Iran and how America and these Western nations are ignoring the fact that Iran is still on the path for a nuclear weapon. War is about to break out in a greater way than we've seen in Israel in our present time. Can I stress to you that we are in the latter days?
Yes.
With war about to... war is already in Israel. But it's about to break out in a greater magnitude. I heard a man last night on Fox said that Iran can be 3 months away from a nuclear weapon. 3 months. And when that happens, the bombs will fly in Israel. What does that have to do with us? My brothers and sisters, it's time to wake up. It's time to realize the battle that we are in. It's time to realize that you are in a warfare. That this stuff coming down from Congress and this stuff that you see on your television sets and you hear and the guy next to you in his car blaring from his stereo, this is from Satan himself. Is he not the prince of the power of the air? Are there not spiritual... Is there not spiritual wickedness in high places? So can we see that in all of this mess that America is in, that behind all of this is Satan? You know, so often we read through the scriptures, we read through the gospels, and we see the presence of Satan. We see the presence of demonic possession over and over again. And we look at America, and not many of us have come in contact with somebody who has been demon possessed. And so we're kind of rocked to sleep, aren't we? Thinking that, you know, Satan must not be very much involved because I don't see him showing up. You don't see demonic possession like you used to in the scriptures. So where is he? But you know, this inspired book says that when Satan sees the day approaching, that final day, he will work the more and more. Amen? And so what that should tell you is that you saw Satan very, 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 very much alive in the Gospels. So if he was indeed very much alive in the Gospels, how much more is he alive in the most powerful nation in the world today? The most influential nation in the world today. Fathers, Satan desires to have your children. Young men and women sitting here today, Satan desires to have you. If you're not saved, he wants to keep you from being saved. He wants to blind you with the cloud of this world. You know, there used to be a time where there was good, wholesome programs on TV. Like, how do we get from Leave It to Beaver to The Modern Family on television? How do we get to the point where it's unacceptable to say that you're against sodomite marriages? How do we get to the point where it's unacceptable to sit and pray? How do we get to the point in America where it's unacceptable to open up your Bible while you're at lunch in your workplace and read? How do we get to the point in America where you can't say praise the Lord without people looking at you funny in this secular society? Listen, folks, we are in a mess. We are at war. And if there's anything that I want to stress to you more than anything, it's for you to realize that the things that are going on around you, the entertainment that you see on TV, that we as a church have slowly allowed those things to invade our homes and pervert our minds. where we have allowed the standards that we once held to go down just like the world's standards are, so that we're just a little bit holier than the world. And if you think about that word holy, you understand that you can't be just a little bit holy. It's either you are holy or you are unholy. And what I want to charge to you this evening is to realize the mess that we are in. So as we read here, we saw that Israel realized the mess that they were in. And so what they did was they tried to take down their houses that were in the way, and they built up these walls higher, and they repaired the breaches, and they gathered together the water, because you need water to live. And all of these things make sense, because you need these things to survive. And as we think of America, and we think about the problems in America, and we talk about the next president, and we talk about the midterm elections, and we talk about the laws that need passed, and we talk about all of these things. But those things, if they all go the way that we want them to go, will not fix this country. There is a greater threat and a greater problem in this country. It is a spiritual problem. Spiritual wickedness in high places needs to be fought on a spiritual ground. The Lord invites you to seek His face. I see America, and I don't think America, in my opinion, will survive the attack it's under. And I'm talking about the attack within, the Obamas, those who are dismantling the country in the way that it was founded. But as we see this country collapsing, there is one thing that we can do, and we can do it with all our might and with all our heart, and that is to try to grasp out the souls that are ready to fall under the structure of this country. Snatch the souls from a burning pit of hell. And those of our loved one who are in church, who are not here today, who should be here today, the Christians, we need to come alongside them and encourage them and realize the battle that we are in. Show them the good and right way. This is our duty. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. And we look around us and we know that we are in a battle. Brothers and sisters, gird up your loins like a good soldier. Carry that shield and that sword of the Lord out into your workplaces and out into the public places. And show people Jesus. Amen. That is the only thing that will truly make a difference in this country. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 11, it says, "They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart." No man layeth it to heart. What a sad thing to see the desolation of this country and not lay it to heart. In Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30, it says, "And I sought for a man among them," some of you know this, "that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the Lord, that I should not destroy it. But I found none." Zero. And when I think of the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He takes His inner circle of three, and He goes on to pray a little while, and He comes back, and His disciples are sleeping. And He wakes them up, and He says, "Could you not pray with me for just a little while?" And He goes on, and He prays again, and He comes back, and He finds them sleeping, and He leaves them alone, and goes back and prays a little more, and then He comes back, and He says, "Wake up." Before he says, "Wake up," that the time is now for him to be captured, he says, "Sleep on." And it is one of my fears as we look around our fundamental churches today and as they see the turmoil, the fact that the rapture could happen at any moment. And yet we continue on and we entertain ourselves to death and we're still ashamed to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and we still want to stay miles away from the word holy. One of my greatest fears is that the Lord will say to us, because He's tried to get our attention, He's tried to wake us up, one of my greatest fears is that, like He said to His inner circle, He'll say, sleep on. I want you to stand with your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Will you be one of those men? Will you be one of those young men, young ladies, young child? Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are, you're in a battle. Will you continue on and ignore the battle that is around you, or will you lay it to heart? Will you be the man that will stand in the gap? I want to ask you, if the Lord has spoken to your heart, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, and you want to say, Brother Pratt, I'm going to raise my hand and I'm going to say, the Lord has spoken to me about some things that I need to take care of. Just go ahead and raise your hand. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to have an invitation here. I want to invite you to come and pray at the altar. Make those commitments with the Lord and remember the commitments that you made. Remember the battle that you are in.
Questions before we sing together. Maybe tonight you stand in the pew and you know in your heart that if you die today, you do not know where you'd go. Maybe if you die today, you say, Pastor Donald, I don't know if I go to heaven. I don't know if I go to hell, but I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. If that's you, tell you, say, Pastor Donald, I do not know where I'd go if I die. I don't know if I'm saved. Would you just raise your hand so I can see it real quick? I see that hand. Is there someone else? Pastor Donald, I don't know if I'm saved. I don't want to go to hell, and I just want to ask you to pray for me. Could you raise your hand so I can see it? I see that hand as well. All right. Before we sing, I think we should do something. Brother Pratt mentioned, and really, he opened up his message with the thought that our country's in a mess. And if I know the folks of Loomis Park Baptist Church, I know that you love your country. And I'd like us tonight, just for a moment, if I could, I would like to ask the members, the people in this room tonight, if you would come forward and pray for your country. As a church, could we start coming right now and just spend a moment of prayer on the altar for our country? Listen, that is what's going to change this country. Come forward, pray for your country. Say, God, please bless our country. Lord, please bless the leadership of our country. Please help them. Lord, do something special in our country. We need you. Just take a moment to pray for your country. Ask God to intervene. Take a moment and pray for America. What a wonderful country we live in. But yes, it is in a mess. Yes, there is a lot going on. Ask God to bless this country.